Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. My name is Philip Gilfus, your co-host do week, and I'm joined as always by my two co-hosts, Darren Moser and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, how is your Treksgiving week going?
That's right. I think Aaron Harvey is a friend of the network is doing some sort of Treksgiving thing on Friday, I think, the 27th, but
well, he's a day late then.
Well, you know, well, hey, he just wants to honor people's actual Thanksgiving time of as they spend it alone with themselves, I guess. I don't know. It's an odd year, but yes, lots of Trek. Aren't we near the premiere First Contact? Didn't that come out around now? I've been seeing people post pictures about it in chats. So
I was just reflecting. That was the first Star Trek movie I ever saw in the theaters. But it's bizarre I did not see Star Trek Generations in the theaters. I mean, I was old enough to ask a parent to take me. But I don't know why I did not do that. But anyway.
Yeah, so. I saw Generation in theaters. I remember that was like kind of the first time we saw a different Trek logo, because it was that oval with the slightly off center, which, you know, kind of looks like a Discovery Comm badge now, if you think about it. Have we come full circle?
No, it's an oval. Yeah,
full oval.
Full oval. Oh, gosh.
Geez. In fact, today is the 24th anniversary of Star Trek First Contact.
Oh, there you go. At the time of this recording.
Yeah. So start planning next year's celebration.
That's right. 25th year. Maybe we'll get some special something or other.
Or the actual Borg.
Watch, we'll probably get like a LP press of the soundtrack with cool artwork.
It's a good soundtrack.
I know it's not a bad soundtrack. I'm just saying I'm not holding my breath for like awesome things.
Are you saying that you don't have faith in the ability of Star Trek franchise to produce merchandise that is both timely and significant?
Can it be like a small diorama where it's like the conference room and you can take your Picard figure and smash the ships on the wall? Because that'd be awesome.
I would. All right. Well, Daniel, anything about going on in your neck of the woods before we plunge into where our personal transporters take us?
No. Nothing really going on this week. Like Darren mentioned, it's weird. It's a weird holiday, but we have new Star Trek, so there it is.
That's right. Well, now we're going to go into the latest episode of Star Trek Discovery in its third season with the episode Scavengers, which, again, I'm still surprised has not been used as a Star Trek episode title. I mean, that for sure, that's like a Deep Space Nine episode, right? Or, you know, early Voyager. No, but
nope.
So Star Trek Discovery. I know, right? It's when you're writing an episode, you know, you're thinking of the title, like, surely this has been taken, but nope. So anyway, here we go. All right, well, let's just go with general impressions first. I just watched it probably 2 hours ago myself. So, Daniel, what did you think of this latest entry?
You know, I don't keep really up with the behind-the-scenes stuff, but I can tell, you know, this season is different. It's definitely different than season one and season two of Discovery. And, you know, they address a lot of my issues. They address a lot of things that I think Discovery in the past would have continued to make mistakes with. For example, right off the bat here, we get an entire refit of the ship, which, you know, may have its problems. We'll get into
it.
I can hear Daniel having a meltdown when I was watching that.
It may have its problems, but at least...
We'll get to it.
But at least it addressed the problem. Because we talked about it last week, and I'm like...
You did mention it last week. You're having this... god old ship, like, which is going to be destroyed. The shields are not going to hold up against any sort of modern weapon.
Yeah. So at least, at the very least, they addressed it. Old Discovery would have just brushed it under the rug and just kept moving. So I will say that I think this season is better than the previous seasons for me in terms of a lot of that stuff is being followed up on. Whether or not it's successful or not is a different question. It's another topic. So, and then of course I want to talk about the end scene of this episode, the half reckoning, I guess we could call it. But you know, I
you are now my number two.
I thought it was an okay episode. You know, I don't love, the pairing either, alone or together of Michael and, Philippa, so I was just kind of over that, and then this whole forced relationship with Michael and Book, but there was some stuff in there to like.
They kiss now. It's obviously official.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kiss official. All right, and we have to figure out what their couple pairing is, name is, of course.
It's the status change, it's complicated, so it's...
Burn Book.
Muckle.
Burn Book. Burn. Could we just call them Fahrenheit because they burn books?
We're literary here.
Yeah.
All right. What'd you think, Jared?
I like how we all laughed and shed a single tear for Eagle Moss and their as they now have to design starships with detachable nacelles. I liked the Discovery A, you know, rework. I have a picture pulled
of
it.
We're not calling it that, are we?
Well, you know, whatever. The refit Discovery.
That's what the episode calls it.
Yeah. but I like how they, you know, okay, you have the detachable nacelles, there's a couple more open spots, you lots more white lighting, and then they got rid of the all the little catwalks between the center hub and the outer ring.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't need them anymore because you got your personal transporter to zip around the ship. So, I mean, I don't know if that's the actual reason, but I that was one of the design changes. So now it looks even more like the, what was it, the Vengeance?
Oh yes, yep. I can
but,
see that.
But it actually has a lot of like Vengeance vibe, like from the. But it's cool. I think it's a nice. I mean, it's obviously very similar. I mean, it's not really changed that much. Where when you see it flying through space, you know what ship it is. But yeah, but overall, I liked this episode. I liked the, you know, the heist, the get out of the camp, and you know, I had a lot of Forbidden Planet vibes with the laser fence that kills you. You know, you got to watch out for that. And, I actually am actually more interested in the Philippa Michael relationship now because something's actually happening. Like I with the flashbacks we're kind of seeing through Philippa's mind, because she, my understanding is she's mentioning some name or something, but it's not Michael. I get the feeling that like Michael might have killed her son or her or something like that. Like I felt like there's something male that she was talking about that as we see the blood. But we'll interesting to see maybe in this universe if you're evil, your evilness like burns and doesn't feel good in the good universe. I don't know. It's like the longer you're in the opposite universe, it like has psychological effects because she's breaking down.
Sorry if this is not the right place to interject this. Every time they try to do a cutesy moment with her, I'm just like, she ate people.
Yeah,
that
she's
are
a psychopath.
Like, this is like running around having fun adventures with Hitler. Like you don't. Yeah. She should be in jail. She doesn't deserve to be anywhere else having fun adventures. It bothers me that nobody cares.
I feel like they're trying to plant the seeds of her actually changing personality.
She can change all she wants, man. She's eating people. It doesn't matter. Like it doesn't. You don't. It's fine. You can change in prison, and it's great if you do. And that's awesome that it's for that. But it just bothers me. It just bothers me. We're just supposed to be okay with it. It just bothers me.
It reminds me, and I don't know where they're going, as you say, Darren. It reminds me a little bit of course, you know, I always reference my other podcasts, whatever podcast I'm on. So a Doctor Who podcast, I'll talk about Star Trek. So Star Trek, I'll talk about Doctor Who. For those who watched the Missy storyline on Doctor Who with the 12th Doctor in his last season, where she was sort of going through her I now feel bad phase. And, you know, the doctor was trying to reach out to her to make her good, you know, now, for lack of a better word. But it and I don't know if that's where they're going. But because, like you said, that I don't even, I mean, I don't know what's going on, as you say. I that's a nice theory that maybe, like you said, there is some sort of, because they introduced the, and I don't know if they're going anywhere with it, at the last two episodes ago. Last episode, whatever. They introduced that there's some sort of genetic thing.
Oh, the song?
Terrence. Well, that too. But I'm talking about,
you're talking about
the guy.
Yeah. Whatever they mentioned.
Yeah.
He mentioned some sort of genetic thing with Terrence. I forget what it even was.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he was implying, we can tell you're not from our universe. Like, don't even try.
That's what he was implying. Then she sort of cut it off at the knees. She, like, defended it and was like, just because I have this difference between you biologically, that's not what makes me who I am. It doesn't make me enjoy being corrupt and evil and all this sort of thing. So she cut
like,
that off at the knees.
That's the feeling I got. Because they're like, we can scan you to the somatopic level. Like, we can tell, like, you're not, you know, you're Terran, but you're, you know, your Terran Empire, not human. I guess maybe Terran versus human. I don't know if that's the official words. But Daniel, what did you think of the keeping Discovery on deck? Like, you know, was that wise for them to not distribute them onto these critical missions when warp drive is still crippled?
Finding the source of the burn, I don't know how many times I have to say this, but this is a 125-year-old mystery. This is not mission critical. This is not important. This is like ancient history at this point for these people.
Well, I know that's kind of their overall mission now, but I meant like in the beginning, you know, they're talking about the other missions, like, oh, this planet and this planet. And the Admiral's like, no, Discovery, yeah, you could zip over there and be back in an hour, but I need to rapid deploy you when I need you.
Yeah, no, I thought that was fine. I thought it was, we never see what that critical mission was. We don't know what it is.
True.
It sounds like some diplomatic thing that's failing. And it's fine. Like, if it's 12 hours of standby. It's not like it's docked there for months. It's like, wait for a half a day, Michael. And I know we'll get to it. But, like, wait for a few hours, man. Yeah. Just wait. And then,
you know what?
You know, I just, yeah, it's totally fine. If that's
you know what I feel like we're missing? Is I feel like there should have been a scene where, like, Saru was at some sort of captain's dinner with, like, all the captains of the other ships or something. Like, it feels like he's very isolated from the rest of the fleet. And if they're slowly bringing those walls down, I don't see why.
I think it's intentional, though.
I was a little confused. Whatever, and I know I'm being nitpicky. I was confused.
What? Watching Discovery? I can't believe it.
I know. Everything I do is suspect. I'm so sus. But anyway, that the way the other captains, in that scene you're talking about, the way the other captains were reacting, and cinematically, how they were shot, Darren, you know the terminology better than I do, but looking below, you know, looking up at them.
Oh, yeah.
They feel
larger than life. They feel...
Well, but it was emphasizing, like, they both have, like, these look of, like, disgust. I don't know how else to describe it. They're like...
That's true, because this is the scene where he reveals the existence of the spore drive, because they don't know that before that. And
but that'd
it was
be
more,
cool, right?
I don't feel it was more disgust. I feel it was maybe more of, like, why were you keeping this secret from us? Because this is probably a very tight-knit group, because that's all that's left, you know.
They just did not look happy to be there.
But
it's
true.
Or given their
missions. They looked very they didn't. I feel maybe, like you said, like, there maybe it was disgust of, like, oh, so we have the ability to totally solve this particular problem, but you're not gonna commit that resource, and because you want to hold it in reserve. Like, reserve for what?
Well, for,
you know,
one mission, Darren. It's that one critical mission. God, yeah.
The the yellow alert mission. I like it every time they say a planet's on yellow alert. I'm like, the planet, the whole planet.
You remember when Riker yelled red alert in his cabin in the woods?
Is it like Saturn? Is like Saturn always on yellow alert because it's like yellowish?
No, you don't want to draw any attention to Saturn, Darren.
Well, let's rewind and talk about the refit of the Discovery.
And her crew.
So, which again, as we said, that's fine. Yeah, and I'm including the crew. I'm including everything. The first 5 minutes of the episode.
A, and again, sorry, out of the game. Like, when the first 10 seconds of the episode, I'm like, Dots again? Like, is that how we're starting every
freaking
episode?
It was old and new Dots. It was Discovery Dots and Federation Dots,
because
there were two different designs.
But, like, and it made sense in this episode, but they've done it, like, two other times in this season. I'm like,
it's
what,
in
what
the
is
opening
this fascination?
Credits now, Philip, okay? We have to give, I personally, I don't like the Dots, but whatever.
But anyway, but it made sense when I was just instantly complaining, the terrible nerd I am. But then I was like, oh, it makes sense. And then I saw the A. So this is my thoughts. And you know, there's no right answer, I suppose. You know, we could do the motion picture where you just refit the whole ship. It looks completely different. In fact, it is different. And everything's not, you know. But we still call it the NC-1701. You know, there's just two different models.
Right.
But no, this is the Discovery A.
Well, I think I've heard some people mention the fact that, obviously, also remember, Discovery was deleted from history. I mean, people knew the Discovery existed, but it was destroyed in the Battle of Control. And this is like, in a way, it's like honoring, you know, it's like, hey, it's back now. But also, we know that by this time in the future, they're letter happy guys. There's like Voyager J, and I think I saw like a Reliant M. Like, they're going, like, you know, they're just, I'm surprised. I'm surprised there are ships that don't have letters on them at this point. Like, guys, like, every ship should have a letter by now.
There's a Phoenix Z. It's crazy what they're doing.
Z for Zephyr. So that makes sense. Where it could be that, you know, they're trying to disguise it, and they're like, oh, no, it's a different ship. It's, obviously, it's not.
This couldn't possibly
Discovery.
Be the one from the time of 22, whatever.
Yeah, we just did a retro design, and
it's a retro design.
That's, I don't know. I guess I would have needed a, I mean, don't you think there's a line of dialogue needed for that? Oh, the reason we're adding an A, you know.
Yeah, it just feels lazy. It just feels like if they're going to do this, just do it. Well, like, redesign the CG model.
Or why wouldn't Saru or someone, I'm assuming, like, yeah, a scene where Saru's like, oh, why the A? Because remember, at that point in Saru's time, that's never been done. As far as we know, the Enterprise was the... But as far as we know, the Enterprise A was the first one we've ever seen that has honored with a letter extension. And so he's like, what's this? You know?
I mean,
although, granted, now that I think about it, when they flew in and they saw the J and they did the mental math, like, it wasn't surprising.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Guys, but we need cartographers, and we need, like, blueprint people, and we need, like, ship namer. We need, like, a whole episode of just that.
Yeah.
Answer
our
questions.
And so we'll get to the interior in a second. But, like, you know, you talked about the nacelles. Now, looking back, and I know I just watched it two hours ago, I don't actually remember seeing the nacelles apart during the episode. Were they? I mean, I saw that, you know, when they
separate. When they separate,
but,
yeah.
Well, yeah, the Discovery's like, not in the episode much, so I didn't
that's true.
Notice it either, but I didn't look.
And they're also like a hair span away. Like, you know, from a wide shot, I don't know. If it was at the wrong angle, I don't think you would even notice. Like, if it's anything
also,
but a top bottom shot, I don't think you would notice.
Also, does this mess up Calypso? Again, I haven't watched it
in a
year.
It does.
There's no A on that Discovery.
No, I think they just don't care at this point. Or not that they don't care. It's just they're not going to write themselves into a box with a Short Trek.
Well, then why'd they write themselves in a box with a Short Trek, then?
Different showrunners, okay. I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on.
New showrunner came in and like, we're going to rip the nacelles right off the ship. We're going to slap an A on it. And we're going to sell it. We're going to sell it. Sell it.
Well, I know. You said Eagle Moss. Eagle Moss like, dang, we have to make another model to sell the fans? That's terrible.
Well, no, I was more thinking, like, how do we do floating nacelles, guys? We got to
figure
that
easy.
Out.
You just make a clear piece of plastic.
Yeah.
That just sits there. It's very easy.
That it will break off very easily.
Yep.
So let's talk about the interior, where we've... I mean, I'm not talking about the ship. Who cares? Yeah, I didn't even notice a difference. I'm like, I don't even remember what it looked like. But anyway...
That's true. They purposely say, oh, for your ease of transition, it looks just like the old, but it's actually fully programmable matter. And it's like, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea, but... I was expecting them to give a joke when the comm officer was like, he was already like this, like hands deep in his interface. I was expecting some moment of like, Captain, the hail's coming in. I don't know how to answer that yet. Like, my hands are
spinning
stuck.
The ship around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, you know, or actually would have also been funny when he took the ship, the hollow ship, and like placed it there and then to like go back and like move it a tiny bit. Like, he's just getting it just right in his customized interface.
And I do like the enthusiasm of some of the crew. Yeah, heck, this is better. But let's talk about the comm badge in the room. So we got new comm badges that are the sonic screwdriver of comm badges, I like to think of.
They have your Jumanji stats. When you tap on them, it pops up. And did neither of you guys see the second Jumanji?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Oh, there's a second Jumanji? No.
Yes. Yeah. There's actually a third.
Well, I was talking about the third one, technically.
God. How many Jumanjis are there? There's one three. With Robin Williams,
there's,
right?
Yes, there's three.
And there's two with Karen Gillan. So.
Yeah.
Oh, duh.
And The Rock. Yes.
I haven't seen those ones. No.
Yeah, the latest one, when they go back into the video game, or they find when they tap their peck, like their stats pop up.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So it was very similar to that. But yeah, so it's like, what, it's a tricorder, it's a communicator, it's your personal transporter.
It's everything.
It's like everything. You it's like, so, think... so don't lose it, is basically what we're saying. Or you're done.
You only get one.
Can it be a phaser? Could you just be like this and be like, pew, pew? Because that's literally the only thing it doesn't do so far.
But they have to keep their old uniforms.
Because yeah, I guess so.
Half measures, guys. I guess, you know, this could be like a budget thing or whatever, I guess.
It's totally a budget thing.
But it's like, come on, man. Just make new uniforms. You got 2 years out of those old ones. Make new ones.
But again, I'm not trying to be that guy, but just a line of dialogue. You don't have to make a meal out of it, but like,
yeah.
But we're keeping our uniform, you know.
Or, again, you can have him, imagine standing with all the other captains, and they all have different uniforms, because it's so separated now, it's not like one Starfleet look. Because everybody at that circle of the pit, they looked like Admiralty, because like don't know how the crazy, like, center necktie rank thing goes, but they didn't look like captains.
It's almost very Battlestar Galactica with the, you know, the, I don't know what you call the different, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, Adama would wear that more official uniform, even when he, on his
I didn't get a captain
uniform.
Feel. I got a, like, I'm over a sector admiral feel kind of look. But.
Yeah. So, but anyway. So, yeah, that's anything else on refits and new looks?
Well, this is the one where Linus kept popping around. That was a funny joke.
I like Linus, I guess.
I mean, someone had to do it. If it wasn't Linus, it would have been Tilly. We all know that, like, you know, or something. And I liked all they also did the programmable matter with Stamets. Like, again, that made more sense, because we saw that in a teaser, but now that we know what that programmable matter is, the new go-to 30th century technology. It's like, how does that work? Programmable matter, blah, 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 blah. You mean like a replicator? Well, no, that old tech. Which, and, you know, if we side on for a second of old tech, like, that was a Enterprise tricorder, wasn't it? When they're rummaging through the bins, they pull out, and Philip was talking about it. That looks like an Enterprise, like NX-01 era tricorder.
I couldn't tell whether that was her own tricorder that she was passing off as.
Yeah, I was confused too. I thought it was something she brought with her because she was showing it to him.
No,
I didn't think she grabbed it out of the bin.
I think she grabbed it out of the bin because it had the square buttons. I remember that. That's what an Enterprise, like an Archer era. Tricorder has, and she would have
showing him,
and she would have been familiar with that because that would have happened before her.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And then you had the like the standard TOS, sorry, standard TNG phaser. Which, and she's like, but that doesn't even work or something like that. But those are fun little moments. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I recognize that.
Well, before we get to the Michael of it all, I just wanted to touch on the C story. Yeah, just touch on it. We had, oh, Lordy, I've forgotten her name. Adira?
The
yeah.
cat? Name, right? Are you talking about the cat?
No.
That's the D story.
The Stamets and the lunch.
Adira. Yeah. What'd you all think of that? You know, I mean, it's not much. Well, I say not much.
It makes
sense.
Like, he literally spells it out. It's like, we both love people who have died and came back in a way. Like, that's, and it also adds a lot more to Stamets because he can be really standoffish. I mean, he still is working through stuff with Tilly.
Yep.
But I like that. I want more connections. You know, that was a great moment. And it didn't take very long. To do.
Any reason why you all think that they made her 16? Because she doesn't look 16. I mean, I know nobody looks 16, and you know, but like, just make her like 19. I don't, you know, it just seems
maybe
like
the dichotomy
age,
of
15.
A 16-year-old with like hundreds of years of life experience. So you have the wise old man, you know, in the 16-year-old body kind of feel. I don't know.
We had a whole series about that, in fact.
Yeah, because the.
They gonna kill her in season six? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh my god, we're gonna find out that Saru's mom was really a prophet this whole
gosh.
Time.
And... Oh no! But anyway, but yeah, I thought it was nice. It was weird in some ways, just kind of the tone of like Sam. It's just like, hey, what's up? Oh, invisible friend, that's normal. That's fine. I believe you. That's
cool. I mean, he's not wrong. They've been through crazy stuff on that ship, like. Like, honestly, that's probably one of the least crazy things you could talk about.
I just wish it was more subtle. Yeah. Like, it's, they beat you over the head with it. Like, he literally says, you know, we go through a lot. I understand exactly what you're going through. I also loved a dead person who was not dead. Then they have a backup scene, in case you didn't understand what that scene was about, when he's explaining to her, I feel connected to her because I also loved you when you were dead. And I'm like, why couldn't he just like feel connected to her? Like, and he discovers this thing, but he doesn't have to be like, I went through exactly the same thing as you. Like, I just feel like there's just room for.
I mean, I didn't feel like it was too bad. I felt, you know, I liked that they also had that Culber Stamets scene. You know, like,
I do have questions about.
There is official Starfleet pajamas, though.
That was my question. That can't be comfortable. Just if you sleep on that little pin, I mean, because that's a pin. I mean,
was it a pin? I thought it was sewn in. I didn't know.
It looked like not flat. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, like, that can't be good. I mean, I know it's smaller than your comm badge, but it's that can't be comfortable.
So, actually, now thinking about the comm badges, because they're also your rank. So does that mean if you want to defect, you take it off and put it down, and then you're like, but I'm not actually getting rid of it because it's my. It's my tricorder and my transporter and all the things I still want.
Well, you're jumping to the end, Aaron. You're jumping to the end because that's what was happening. So,
you're right. I totally forgot about that moment.
Yes. So let's go ahead and fast forward to Michael then, because I mean, I don't really have anything to say about the cat and Tilly. I don't really know.
Did you eat Michael? I mean, it's a big cat, but like they make it sound like it's two times normal size, and I don't feel like
bigger.
That's...
I just wish they'd use a CG cat. Just make a CG bigger cat. That would be awesome. A space cat. Do you remember the episode of the original series when there was a Pomeranian dog, and they just glued something to its forehead?
The horn?
Yeah.
Why not just use a big CG cat, man? This cat is just a normal cat. Anyways.
Hides under a bed. That's what my wife's cat does. Anyway, so also I don't know why the cat was there and not on the ship. Was it supposed to be like they switched devices or I didn't get how the cat was in her quarters.
No, the cat came back with the ship and then she took it off the ship because they're going into danger, I guess.
Okay. She's worried about the cat.
Maybe she put her comm badge on the cat. And so it's like, where's Michael Burnham? Michael Burnham is in her quarters.
But no,
that
would have
been cool, but that didn't happen.
She did exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Computer knew. By the way. And this is not a Discovery problem. This is a Star Trek problem.
Oh, it's a major Star Trek problem.
Make a note of the time when the ship didn't alert anybody.
Nope.
Exo has left the ship.
Not only did nobody notice that she left, she left in a ship that was in the cargo
one shuttle bay we have. So no one who works, because we know a lot of people are constantly working.
Well, they leave the door open all the time.
No, there's like at least a dozen people constantly working in the shuttle bay, and none of them were like, huh, that's odd that ship that stayed here is left.
Wasn't there a ship here before? I had to walk around it when I was bringing this box around before.
I'm glad it's not around anymore.
Maybe Saru should have found out instead of by Tilly. He found out like he went down to the shuttle bay to get the next movie night ready. And then he's like, oh my gosh, the ship is gone. You know?
I know they had to cancel movie night because there's a big ship yeah. there, right?
They just they just cloak it. And then it's like, you know.
I was going to drape my sheet over this. To it, but no.
I did like the guy comes back and there's just the sheet on the floor. And he's like.
Could we get an actual holodeck in this upgrade? Actually, that's a legitimate question.
That's a great question. Where is
No, but actually, I just realized, like, wait, holodeck technology didn't exist in Discovery time, but there's no reason not to put a holodeck. We haven't had a holodeck episode in, like, a long time, guys. We need...
Well, your holodeck is now on your chest, so it's easy.
Your personal holodeck.
And we did see that in Calypso. We saw a lot of that on the bridge and stuff, so more holographic emitters, so... But yeah,
but Calypso is now in another universe. Established that.
But I want a holodeck episode now because this is a thing.
Good luck.
Well, I was trying to remember all the and I've forgotten the name, the boyfriend's name. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Gray. Oh,
thank you.
One syllable names, guys. We got to keep it real simple.
Oh, I know that the actor's name's Ian. Anyway, but like. That listed all the places on the ship. Was it? You said like there was like a basketball court, or I don't know. It listed like all the things that you know, can't you
oh,
do
yeah.
anything else?
No holodeck mention there, huh?
No.
Yeah.
So anyway,
maybe all those places were in the holodeck, and he just didn't because it could be your basketball court, your gymnasium, all of that.
Well, they mentioned even in the last episode when we got to Starfleet headquarters. Some of the ships are literally made out of holographic matter. So,
oh, that's right. They did talk about that.
So there are whole ships full of holograms and full of holodecks, essentially. So
beep, 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 beep.
It definitely exists, for sure.
Are they armed with photonic cannons? Please say they're armed with photonic cannons.
Well, the specs say they are. So, guys, how much were you cheering or yelling at your TV when Michael's like, I have a mission we should do? Saru said, you know what? Don't think we're going to do that. And you're like, Michael's definitely going to follow
those orders. Not surprised at all that Michael followed her heart and left the ship. And, I mean, I know it's the end, but...
The end is the beginning, man.
Well, no, I mean, like, can we talk about...
We saw this in episode one of season one.
Can we talk about how it's dealt with? I know we're going to talk about the mission itself.
No.
But
yeah,
like,
that's fine. Go ahead.
But, like, okay, she gets back and, you know... She has her. She's pretty respectful to the admiral. Like she knows she's in major trouble, and as she lists off all the things she did wrong, he's like not disputing anything she's saying. But and I liked how the admiral, like, you know, he took himself down a notch. He was like, okay, like you should have brought this to me. Like that's the whole point of the chain of command. Like I could have, I might have gone for this mission. It doesn't mean I was a guaranteed no. But I liked him also leaving it to Saru to discipline her and not, you know, raining down, you know, judgment from on high. And I think that also made a more emotional moment when Saru had to not, because I was unsure, like, are they going to demote her? Or it's like she's still the same rank.
You have to get a new combat for
She's
that.
Still yeah, Commander Burnham. She's just not the first officer.
I just want to see, like, Captain Saru presses his comm badge.
I was surprised.
Crew roster comes up. He presses Michael Burnham and hits down one, and you see that one pip disappear from
the programmable matter changes it. That'd be awesome. So instead of a rank ceremony, they take, like, a little object and they kind of, like, swipe it over your badge, and it, like, then tells it to reprogram. I would not be surprised in a future episode. See, I don't know. Part of me... is expecting Tilly to get the job. But that's a huge jump from ensign to first officer.
Why not?
But
maybe we'll establish hard rules where you don't have to be technically a high rank to be
she has like 9,500 years of seniority over the people from the Federation.
You mean like if there was like a third year cadet who the captain just spontaneously made XO, like, that would be crazy, right? Heavy.
Who would it be, though? I mean, hang on. Before we get... I want to just address what you just mentioned, Darren.
Yeah.
The scene where, at the end, I don't like that the admiral dressed Saru down in front of Michael. Because I don't like that minor victory they gave Michael.
Yeah.
I wanted her... I wanted her... to get what she deserved. Frankly, she deserves to be in the brig. He says
she likes the brig. She's like Mariner at this point.
Probably
she is Mariner at this point.
She is.
But it's so frustrating, and the only reason
Saru's her dad, and you know, it's basically the same thing.
And of course, you know, she gets away with it. I wish, you know, I don't know. Like,
but what are they going to do? Are they going to demote her? Are they going to kick her off the ship? She's
lower decks.
I think she shouldn't be. I think they should remove her from the structure entirely.
But that's like, the hard thing is they're setting up. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's like they set up her coming back on the ship, and she's the lead of the show. So how are they going
to? Yes. No.
How are they going to?
Logistically, I understand.
But I'm curious though what they're going to do, because she seems like she's headed on this path of breaking away from the ship, from the crew again, which I'm not saying is bad. I just don't see how they're going to make it work.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know where the end goal of the character arc is going.
Maybe when she solves her question about the burn, she'll come back
I suspect she's going to be right in the end. She's going to save the universe with her knowledge of all that only Michael could have gotten through Michael magic and Michael means. And then she's going to gain...
I liked her plan. Her plan of the memory recorders showing the burn happening at different rates, and then using that to triangulate a point. Like that's a good plan.
We had 150 years of people living and dying who could have also
done
that.
We got 38 member worlds, Daniel. Like that is the priority.
They said that the Federation existed for a time after the burn. And they poured all their resources into trying to figure this thing out. You're telling me none of those people thought to do this?
They didn't have
kidding?
Michael Burnham, Daniel.
Oh, you're right. That's what it is.
They didn't have mushroom technology.
That's what it is. They didn't have
But what do you guys think about who's going to be the new XO? Is it...
Maybe
Arium. Or not Arium, but...
Well, that's but that's who you're... Yes.
Because they put her in the center chair this time.
She seems to show up, like, randomly a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've established a chain of command because last episode...
And we got rid of Non. Like, we were getting rid of all the higher-up people. Like, there's a... Are we going to jump to, like, lieutenants? Are they going to be the new XO?
Because it's... I remember correctly, they put Lieutenant Blondie, that's in her name. I apologize, I don't know her character name.
Not Arium, quote unquote.
Yeah, in command when the two of them left.
Right.
And then when she left, didn't she leave the bridge for a second? And I forget who she then put in. Well, it was like one of the
I think it was the comm guy or the weapons guy. Yeah.
The tactical dude, I think.
Apparently, if you sit in the front seat, you don't get up in the middle chair because neither of them, you're too important.
Yeah. Although, guys, and follow me here, there was a brief flash of a guy we wouldn't expect in the captain's chair.
Oh, Linus?
In this episode, Linus flashes into the... Maybe it's going to be Linus.
Was that the subtle hint we should have picked up on? That he's destined for great things? I mean, he's had like 50 lines in this entire series, but hey, you never know. But yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be Stamets. It's not going to be Hugh. It's not... that.
I think it's not Arium. Not Arium.
Yeah, so it's like either Tilly... Or, but she's been pairing off with Stamets a lot, like they're like not in a bad way, but just
engineering.
And then, so my guess is maybe a new that new Federation lady who's sticking around.
It would actually be smart for the show. I know they need to add more characters, right? That's what really needs to happen. But they should bring someone of that time, so that.
So they're not like, who are these people? And they're like, well, it's the Andorians. They must be on our side. It's like, no. Like, we need to run.
All right. Well, let's talk about the meat of the episode. You know, Giorgio and Michael and their excellent adventure.
on the phone
rescuing book. Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, we got a Andorian who, as I just... like an hour ago, apparently was played by Mary Wiseman's husband.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw that.
It was interesting.
Which is a really interesting character. Like, he actually gave him, they gave him some meat to his character.
Mm-hmm. I would have been excited to learn more, but no.
Well, he's still on the ship and alive.
He's still alive, and he's on Discovery. So
New XO.
That's how New XO's come out. And he calls everyone. Can he please call someone pink skin? Because that would be hilarious.
Only Tilly. That's going to be fun. an all alien command team. We've never had that, right?
Anyway. That'd be cool.
cool. So, but anyway, Daniel, what'd you think about the rescue mission, the scavenge lot, and all that? You know, we've never seen Prison Break before, I'm sure.
It's fine. Whatever. I don't know. It's a rusty industrial factory, and they apparently just have IKEA buckets hanging out all over the place, and you just walk around and pick what you want for your dilithium. I don't know. Whatever. I don't like... Michael was really annoying me this episode because of her terrible decision-making skills. And I don't like Giorgio. And, I mean, I guess I'm pretty indifferent about everybody else, but I just didn't care. I was just like, whatever.
What about Book? You don't like Book? What do you got against Book?
Book's fine. Book's fine, I guess. I don't know. Well, he's fine. That one guy got his head blown off. I know that.
I know. I always watch this episode and be like, oh, why can't I show this episode to children? There we go. All right. Always wait for that moment.
Well, and again, it was, you know, there was nothing bad about the Prison Break. It was just stereotypical. Like, it wasn't anything. It's like, oh, we have a Prison Break and they're on a station around the heart of a star. It's like, nope, it's just a prison on a planet. It's gravel quarry. But
there was a Miranda class ship being salvaged in orbit.
I didn't see that. Was that like a TOS Miranda class?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Because it was like the three ships that Giorgio ended up targeting.
Right.
One looked like a kind of a cargo ship.
Well,
I don't know. It
looked a lot like the ship
Miranda,
that what's the engineer's name? I want to say Tall, but Stamets. That's wrong. No, Jet Reno. That
Hiawatha.
Yeah, that she crashed in. It looked kind of like that one, if I recall.
I didn't recognize.
I mean, they're
that
totally real models, so I'm sure.
Yeah,
they
needed
to
reuse the model, guys.
Exactly, it's only a model. All right.
Yes, Hiawatha type. That.
Yep.
It looks very much like
it's
that.
It's just like I watched.
And on Memory Alpha, it does say appeared in Brother and Scavengers. So,
there you go.
Memory Alpha agrees with me.
Yeah, it's just like I watched the episode like an hour and a half ago, and like I'm already forgetting parts about the, like, there was an Orion who. So here's the thing, right? And I'm wondering if they're doing this on purpose, that they keep not showing us the big bads. Like we did this on the planet where Discovery first appears with all the ice. Like he did show up. That guy did show up. He lived.
Yeah.
This guy is the nephew of the big bad lady on the planet.
Yeah.
But he didn't die. He still...
He got away.
So we're building up like a plethora of enemies, I think. I don't know if it's going to come back in like a Sinister Six kind of way at the end of the season. But, I'm wondering why they keep doing... Like, who is...
The Emerald Chain, Daniel.
Yes. Oh, you mean the Orions of this century.
What, do they yell some sort of chant like, you break one chain, we forge another, you know, or something something like that.
Oh, God. They were going to say that.
What
about you, Darren? Anything to say about Prison Break?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, surprise, surprise, there's a debris field outside the planet, like every planet we've been to so far. But, no, it's, again, I feel like this whole thing was basically, you know, get Booker back, but it was really...
Well, I think it's...
No,
his
full name is Booker.
His real name.
Booker T. Washington?
No.
No, they said his name. It's very American.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just teasing Darren.
Yeah.
But T.J. Booker. And episode title. I feel, you know, this is actually more about Giorgio than anything, because we were flexing on her ability to get in and out of the situation. And again, her blackouts... Crazy mental fatigue, flashbacks. Yeah,
PTSD. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, it's fine. And I thought a lot of this episode was fine. Like, I think my problem, and it's my problem, is I just wasn't connecting with any of it. Like, it kind of reminded me of last week's episode where I'm watching it. I'm like, especially near the end, you know, when they're trying to be, you know, emotional stuff, and I'm like, I bet this is all technically good. I just have no connection to any of these characters and don't care. But that's me. I'm sure people watching it like these characters and are involved. It's just like, I mean, it looks like you're doing what you're supposed to be. I mean, my problem, of course, would be what I always complain about with Michael. Like, every scene, she's very sad and crying. I mean, like, every scene. And I wish that would not be, because I think there's more to that character. I mean, for someone coming from a Vulcan background, she really cries a lot.
Well, we've moved on past that, but
yeah.
Well, we won't talk about that anymore. Well, actually, it looks like we'll talk about that next week. But
well, and with the okay, we have a graveyard of ships. Like, you know, now's the time to show. Go deep, man. Like, I want to see California class. I want to see Galaxy class. I want to see.
You've already seen California class. It's in the other series.
I know, but I want it in this series because it's in the past. It's in the future. So it should be.
No, dead, Darren.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't really. I mean, you shouldn't see ships that you're familiar with because they're all gone. For a very, very long time, they're all long gone.
Darren, I know you're our space expert.
Oh, I'm the space expert? Okay.
Well, I was showing, like, the debris field of the Federation ships. I'm like, in 100 X years, shouldn't they have drifted apart? I mean, I get there's no inertia in space, but there's gravitational pulls from planets and something. I mean, they shouldn't still be a debris field in 100 years, right? Or
no, I mean, the debris field is orbiting the planet, because if it's not orbiting the planet, it's crashing into the planet. Maybe unless it's in a Lagrange point, which is possible.
Yeah, probably should have.
So Lagrange points are where the gravitational pull of like a moon or something causes like a fixed point. So there's like 5 of them around our planet. So one's like between the Earth and the moon, and then there's one that's on the other opposite side of the moon, and then there's 2 more that are kind of like if you made a triangle between it and the moon and the Earth, and then one's on the other side. So it's like the weird way gravity works, like those, they're specific point that you could park something and it's not going to fall towards another celestial body. So maybe it's in a Lagrange point. More likely it's orbiting the planet.
Which eventually the orbit should fail.
Or even more likely, the writers didn't know or care about any of that.
Well, I mean, it's Star Trek sci-fi. It's not hard science, but, you know.
I think
mushroom spore drive, guys. Mushroom spore drive.
Because, like, you know, it's like Wolf 359 is still not going to be there in 100 years.
That's true. But I also get what you're saying, Daniel. Like, it's, I mean, it's 800-something years of starship evolution plus 100 years of destruction. Like, you're not going to be seeing a Constitution class, you know, popping around. Like, unless it's the, was this when the mothball fleet destroyed? Did they not take the batteries out? When they stored
the Smithsonian, destroyed.
Yeah, so they forget to, you know, when you put a toy away, you forget to take the batteries out, and they corrode. Is that what happened when like all the dilithium blew up and the Smithsonian was wiped off the map?
Oh boy. Well, any final thoughts before I do a quickie thing here at the end? But any final thoughts about you know, you talked about this, Darren. Where's Michael? I mean, she took off the comm badge, which is her rank. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, what is that? What does that mean? Like, she's not going anywhere. She's not. What does that mean? She's just sad. Maybe she's turning the
well, she's
setting
always
down.
Sad. Like, I don't know.
I. It feels like they're having her on this course of being the, you know, the Neelix of the ship, the person that is a little more familiar with this time. But again, they don't. They kind of took that away because now that we're at the Federation and we're in a totally different sector, like. She's really not the expert. She's the expert maybe as far as Discovery crew, but they could, you know, I'm surprised they didn't try to put more Federation people on the Discovery. That would make sense.
Yes, it would make a lot of sense.
Maybe that's why they didn't do it.
In all fairness to Michael, I will say this. She has absolutely shown zero interest in holding this post the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, she's definitely been kind of like, listen, like, she straight up told Saru, I'm out of it. Like, this is not the life I'm in right now. Like, my head's
not doing crew evaluations. I'm not.
Yeah, this is just not where I want to be. Like,
which, again, I think the story can survive if she's not the number one and even a member of Starfleet. But I don't know what role they're going to plug her into. Like, it kind of doesn't make sense for, okay, we've made her number one after she comes back, but now she's going to be like the bandit, like on the edges, and she and Booker are flying around in their ship doing their thing, and we're telling two stories now, and then she answers the burn question, so then she comes back to Starfleet? Like, that doesn't make any sense, but...
Because then you have to set up, I mean, this is not a criticism. I'm just saying. You have to set up the burn question as having this paradigm shifting of like, ah, well, that'll solve Michael's problems.
Well,
just like,
I get the feeling,
did it, you know.
My understanding of the burn is that if they figure out what it is and are able to prevent it from ever happening again, then warp travel can become more stable because everyone's afraid of like traveling more than like a couple of jumps with a couple of crystals because your ship might blow up again.
Here, yeah, that would be crazy talk.
But wouldn't somebody know that? Like, I would, like the pirates.
But
or
that's
whatever,
the feeling I get. Attempted. Is they're like, okay, I need to go on a mission. So here's two warp crystals. One will get you there. One will get you back because that's minimizing the risk. I don't know. I don't know why.
I think it's minimizing the risk of like. I don't think anybody's worried that it's going to happen again. It's been 150 years.
But then why is?
I think it's more of
warp
a
travel
of,
still not a
scarcity of the actual resource.
The lithium.
Yeah,
that's true. But then why does it matter if we solve what caused the burn?
It doesn't. Well, it does for two reasons. And I'm going to predict now. Number one is that we're going to find out what the source of the burn was. It's going to be a terrible, awful, frustrating thing like Michael's mother crash landed on some planet and exploded and something. And it's going to be something crazy like
or
that.
Or when she sent the Red Angel suit back and it caused the seventh signal. It was 120 years ago and it ignited all the lithium.
And it's all Michael's fault.
Yep.
I mean,
that's exactly what's going to happen, unfortunately. And it just isn't, it's just frustrating because like, and I hope the show would be smart enough to address it and be like even if Michael solves the mystery and be like, well, this doesn't magically fix all our problems. You know that, right? Like not everything just comes back the way it was 1,000 years ago. It's just things are different now. Like,
or not even 1,000, just 120 or whatever. Like,
whatever,
right? But Michael's not longing for the Federation of 150 years ago. The crew is not longing of the Federation from right before the burn. They're longing for a Federation that hasn't existed for 1,000 years.
True.
So it's again. I hope it's about the futility of the search because she's not going to solve that problem. That problem is impossible to solve.
Well, I get the feeling that the Federation pre-burn was still relatively like the Federation we knew and loved from like TNG and all of that. Like it hadn't changed that much.
Stuff about temporal stuff, and that's about it.
But
all right, well, quickie, just as a bookend here, not to use the word book again.
Oh, I know why they put an A on. I just realized. So that when the temporal cops come through, they're like, no, this isn't a ship through time. This is the A.
Temporal investigation.
Totally different ship.
But I just wanted to do like a quick 5 minutes on Orion's because, you know, they showed up here again. It seems like, and this isn't, I'm just observation. I'm not complaining. Like they look very, how do I describe
human
it?
Human with green paint?
Cartoony? Because they have like a very, there's no contours to them. You know what I'm saying? It's all very like,
very flat.
There's a plastic over them.
Yes, plastic.
You know?
Plastic is the exact. You know what? I knew it looked a little familiar to me. And
they look like bad Hulk CGI from like 2000.
I was thinking of the old song from the 90s, the late 90s, the Barbie Girl song.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it,
I'm a Barbie Girl.
Plastic
in a Barbie
world.
Yes. It's the same sort of effect that they had because they were all plasticky'd up and stuff. Yeah. Where he looked flat, like you say, Philip. Like it's not. I don't know. It was something with the makeup job that was off to me. But.
Well, and it's CGI, like, well, and it's like the difference between, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people, you know, when you do a cosplay or something of a character with a different skin, you have to contour. Otherwise, it looks like you literally dunked yourself in blue paint. Right. And it doesn't look natural because
you blew it.
Well, because our skin
what was supposed to be a dry run.
Our skin isn't, you know, our skin isn't a solid color. It's semi,
yeah.
You know, it's semi opaque and light affects
well,
it in
like,
different ways.
Compare it to even the Andorian in the episode. And he looked fine. Like
right.
He had a beard.
So it is weird that guy does look like flat. Like
yeah.
Weirdly
I don't,
flat.
Tolar. Yeah. I don't know why.
We don't have to.
Give him names.
The name. Yeah. You give him a name, Darren, and then we have to care about him, and then suddenly.
Now, are we talking about the flatness of the entire. And the ambiguity of the entire Orion race slash conglomerate or slash whatever they
you know
are?
It's very interesting, you know, because we have the sort of TOS, you know, sexy time, slave girls, problematic, whatever. Then you have the Enterprise redefining, well, not redefining, I suppose, but anyway, giving them a pass that was different, but whatever, then you can argue it changed during TOS, whatever. And then, to the extent you want to include it, you have a Kelvin, you have the Orion Starfleet officer. I mean, does
well,
that matter? And then you have
and as Tindy. as a group, I feel like we should have seen more like Andorians not trusting Orions, but they've always seemed to be on the same page every time we've seen two of them.
Well, they're part of the Emerald Chain, is Andorians and Orions.
No, I understand that, but it's just I'm surprised that these two species aren't having more conflict, even if they're in partnership, because usually that doesn't last.
You're thinking in very 24th century.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, you know, we hadn't seen the Andorians in a while. My last time we saw them was, I'm saying this off the top of my head, so I don't know. When was the last time we saw an Andorian? Like, timeline-wise. Like, what is the, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, TOS, we would have seen one. Anything post-TOS that we've seen
in
Andorian?
I mean, there's one, obviously we have a glimpse of one in TNG, but that's a hologram. Right. And then we have,
no DS9, no Voyager?
I think there's one in Deep Space Nine, or they mentioned them in Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there's no late.
I'm just saying, like, maybe they, you know, got a little weird.
That's true. It is kind of interesting that, I mean, it's not a bad idea with the Emerald Chain, but it's interesting that it's two TOS era major aliens that are
with
major
O's.
Players 1,000 years versus like Cardassians or any of the TNG, you know, era aliens, you know.
Well, we saw a Bajoran. But
that's true.
He didn't.
I mean, it could be that
the traitor or the broker.
It could
be
about. I mean, it's not I'm not saying it's a bad idea for the Emerald Chain to be those two species because honestly, we don't know a ton about them. I mean, we know some from Andorians from Enterprise, but we know very little about Orion. So it is kind of still untapped, and we're in the future, so it's all different,
isn't it? And again, I mean, well, I'll pose this question the time we have. Isn't it weird that the Orions haven't changed their culture in 1,000 years? Like, just pirates?
If it's not broke,
for
don't
life.
Fix it, maybe.
I mean, Tindy said in the last 3 years they had stopped being as piratey in the 24th century. But
who knows?
I don't know.
We don't know enough. If only there was a series that had a major character as an Orion.
Right, that explored.
And we could kind of explore it, but no, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Do you think the other series, writers and creators watch the other shows?
That's what I was just thinking.
I screwed us on that one, man.
Well, so somebody earlier mentioned the phaser, the TNG phaser that we saw in the episode.
Yep.
They also mentioned specifically self-sealing stem bolts.
Yeah, 24th century style or something. Yeah.
There was a couple of almost Lower Decks levels of
Linus,
where I was like, it might be a little too far, but I was okay. I was towing the line, but so maybe they have to at least watch the older stuff maybe as research, but I don't know, maybe.
So now we have Michael and Book, you know, hooking up,
sitting in a ship, KISSIN dip.
Did that land for anybody, by the way? Like,
again,
I mean,
I'm
wasn't
not connected
surprised.
To characters.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised they hadn't kissed by now.
I mean, whatever. You know, I don't necessarily always look for romance in my storylines, but Well, that's the part that, like, they stretched that. Like, just, I knew they were going to kiss, like, 10 seconds before they did. And I was just like, you know, it's.
Oh, and we had the Linus gag, you know, this isn't the main shuttle bay or whatever he said.
But, it's...
I would have laughed if instead Michael hits him on his transporter to beam him out, like, get away, instead of him doing it himself.
I feel like this is the second Michael romance that we've gotten. And, in fact,
they reference the first failed one.
And Tyler who?
And none of them work. They don't. For me, they don't work. They're not interesting or suspenseful or.
I think.
Well, again, we weren't shown the year. We weren't shown them.
Yeah, no, that's
falling.
Fine.
Ocean's leavening everywhere.
It's totally fine. I mean, I like their chemistry is fine.
Yeah.
The problem is that we missed all the good parts. Maybe. What if we find out?
It's like Natasha and Hawkeye, where they're like, oh, remember that planet Budapest? He's like, oh, you remember it so different. It's like, what? Tell us. And he's like, nah, it's for another day.
What are we going to find out, Daniel?
What if we find out that Book is also a augmented Klingon to look like a human?
Oh, my gosh.
And this just always happens.
That's true. We haven't mentioned Klingon. We haven't heard the word Klingon in, like, whole season.
You know, the weird thing is he's going to turn out to be her
but we're going to Romulan territory.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, you know, it's whatever. Romance is my thing, but I'm sure for their viewers who like it, there are viewers who, you know, are probably glad to see, you know, two people of color having a relationship predominantly on Star Trek, and which is, you know,
Ben Sisko and Jennifer.
Jennifer wasn't. Well, yeah, I guess. Yates is who you're talking about, Cassidy Yates.
What I meant.
Yeah, Jennifer died in the first episode.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing it in and bringing it up.
I meant Cassidy, but yes.
But you know, yeah, that was like three series ago. You know, it's fine. I think it's because I'm not rooting for Michael. Like, Book seems like a nice gentleman. He could do better, in my opinion. Nothing against Michael.
Coming to
She just always, she see Michael is very, this is my thing, because I don't want to be like, oh, gee, he just hates women characters. Michael is very Buffy to me, where she's like always in development and never knows who she is and always is not a very strong character.
But we're a family.
Yeah, and I don't, like, and there's just great women characters in Buffy who I like much better, Willow, Tara, all that stuff, even Anya, really. But, like, you know, Michael is the main character. It's just like, I don't know, just, I get we have to have conflict and emotional conflict, but, like, I just don't always see her strength, her core. It just seems always conflicted, making bad decisions, crying, feeling bad. So, you know, and give her some good experiences. I mean, when has she been happy? Has there been an episode where Michael was just happy the whole episode? Has that ever happened?
Well, she was very happy when they drugged her in the first episode.
Oh,
of season
God,
three.
Yes, I forgot about that. Well, so. And actually, now back to what you said, Daniel, about if she causes the burn. How does she come back from that? Like, mentally. Like, I caused the destruction of the Federation. Even if you're like, oh, I'm trying to rebuild it now. Like, I'm sorry, it's a little late for that. Like, I'm not saying they wouldn't.
Four.
I'm not saying they wouldn't do that, but I kind of have a hard time as a person. Like, if you felt like you were the one who destroyed, like, the United States of America or something, like, how do you in your own mind be like, oh, but I can make it better? It's like, no, it's, you can't. Like, the last 125 years are your fault.
Oh, well, we'll see next week, or the week after that, or never solve it. Who knows? So, Daniel, if folks want to talk to you about your new upgrades, where can they find you?
they can find me on Twitter. At one
Daniel,
of Dan.
Your arms, programmable matter, they're floating off.
On Twitter, that's at one of Dan, that's the number one, not the word, as in A is the first letter of the alphabet.
That's true. All right, Darren, if folks want to talk about your junk pile that you have behind you and everything you have in it, where can they reach you?
They can find me on Twitter, Instagram, under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And if folks want to talk to me about my programmable rank, they can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. Well, until next week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Jennifer.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.